This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
This is the Power Zone on Power 98.7. That's where you find us. You're right. And of course, we are in the second hour of the show. I told you guys that a lot to talk about this morning. And in this hour, between 1:30 and 2 o'clock, we'll bring in Matsileng Mohodi. He's a senior property practitioner at Snooks Estates. Here, we'll be taking a look at the pros and the cons of renting and buying as we're experiencing really these tough economic times right now. I told you guys that the year is well underway, and as the year gets underway, you see a lot of people are tending to make moves around where they want to stay, where they want to find themselves in the year. Others are even making a long-term kind of those bold adult moves to say, am I buying? What is happening here? But should I continue renting? So sometimes you find yourself caught up between a rock and a hard place, because when you look into your finances, when you look into your credit history, you look into what has happened over time as well, you find yourself really frustrated as to how do I go about this, because I want to buy, but then I'm not really in good standing here. I want to rent, but then I don't have the money that can sustain me over time to do this. But Matsileng Mohodi is a senior property practitioner, and she has seen it all. She knows these things, and we are tapping into her wisdom this morning. Matsileng, welcome to the Power Zone.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Yeah, no, it's lovely to have you on this morning. And I was just saying that we're going to learn as much as we can, because one can never say that they have it right, because there are also some of those issues like an economy that has been sluggish over time that tends to affect our plans. But then around this time, and I guess really this can even happen throughout the whole calendar year, to say that there are those people that are always faced with a decision to say, do I buy, do I rent, how do I go about this? What has been your experience really in terms of where we find ourselves, especially linked to the economy that has not been doing well for some time?
You see, with the conversation that you had just now with the previous person, it touches on exactly how the situation in South Africa is impacting on everything. So you'd think that somebody who wants to buy a property or rent a property, for them it comes easy. But there are so many other things that impact the decision. Our macro environmental impact makes people to not be sure about whether they want to buy or they want to sell, because there are losses of job. People are not sure about what's going to happen tomorrow. There's nothing as frustrating for any individual as not having certainty about what is going to happen tomorrow, next month, because we don't have certainty. And that's one of our biggest problems in our industry, because how do you, you know, how do you guide somebody when they tell you, I might lose my job, the company might shut down, yet they've got a family, they've got children, and they need to make those plans. Those plans can't be put on hold simply because the country is in turmoil.
I mean, where we find ourselves here, we are in trying times. And you're right to say the uncertainty have created also anxiety over a lot of people. People have had to put their plans, their long-term plans, on hold, on the shelves. If you are one person that believes in the vision board and you have that vision to say that probably in the year 2023, this is where I find myself. But then there are those issues that are beyond our control, and we find ourselves trusted squarely into this. Have we seen really a trend here over time? Let's say, but let's track back to the past 3 or 4 years to say that over time, we've seen a lot of people within this space are just changing the way they move, changing the way they operate. Let's say, for instance, people downsizing to say that I've been, you know, renting a 3-bedroom flat, and now I don't need a 3-bedroom flat, I'm downsizing. Or a person that would say that, you know, I've been having this big house and paying like like a big bond over time. But then when I look at it, it's not something that is working for me. I'm downsizing. Is this something that we've seen happen over time due to the economy and the times that we find ourselves?
It's happening. I mean, there's a lot of exasperation amongst a lot of people. And some of them will downsize not because they are no longer enjoying the bigger spaces that they had, but because of the high cost of living that they find themselves having to pay for. And as well as we've seen a lot of people that would have bought a property, but now because of the repayments and the interest rates that are going up, then they would find themselves having to share their properties with other people so that those other tenants can help them to pay their own bond. So we are seeing a lot of those shared types of accommodations because people really need the help. And that also, you know, it puts the works in the spanner in the works because somebody that might have planned to buy and seeing somebody that owns a property going through this, they decide, this is not for me, and they change their mind, and they opt to rent. But then who said they can't buy, you know?
We find ourselves really caught between a rock and a hard place. My guest is Matsileng Mohodi, a senior property practitioner at Snooks Estates. We're talking about buying, we're talking about renting, we're talking about the property space where we find ourselves here linked to the economy. If you are at home, you have a question, you're a person that owns a property and you're finding yourself as really struggling in terms of where we find ourselves, or you just need advice where the renting issues are concerned, or just issues linked to property. So we are here with Matsileng until 2 o'clock. So we are at your disposal. I will try by all means to by just iron out or thresh out some of those things that you're bringing to us. So, but 0861-987-000, that is where you'll find us this morning. I wanted to find out as well, Matsileng, to say that really when we look at where we find ourselves and the tough economic situations that we have experienced, we're talking about the COVID-19 that wreaked havoc. When you look at what has been happening, we're talking about the July unrest that exacerbated the situation as well, making things so hard, industries shutting down. We've heard of the geopolitical interferences or challenges that tend to affect us here at home, the Russia and Ukraine war that has taken time, or that has taken place over time, just also affecting the movements around the world and the economy in general. Really, have this kind of situations that we find ourselves made or given prospects to the issues of repossessions? Are we seeing people now, because of these uncontrollable situations that they find themselves now, even being forced or thrown into that space of repossessions?
You mean repossessions of their properties?
Of their properties, yeah, because of the fact that they are not able to keep up with where we find ourselves, yeah.
Yeah, so the good thing these days is that the financial institutions have got programs in place to identify people that are struggling with bond repayment. Because in the past, if somebody missed a few payments, then they would get attorney letters and someone says, and then the house would get repossessed. But there were so many of those properties that got repossessed unfairly. Some of them were very unfair because the person may have been going through some difficult times, but for a very short period. So nowadays, they've got programs that assist people. But the problem is that we as human beings, sometimes we want to hold on to hope that things will change tomorrow. So despite having all of these calamities that have been happening in recent times, we still have hope that things will change because we've got families and we think that tomorrow will be different from today, even when we can see that things are really, really bad. And those are the people that continue to lose their properties because the programs are there. There's a lot of information for people that find themselves in those kinds of situations. So it is up to individuals to take a step forward and say, okay, this is my problem, and this is the kind of help that I need. So anybody that loses their property today will have had enough information to make an informed decision to save that property. So either they could move out, rent the property out so that the money goes to the bank to pay the bond, because the demand for rental is very high. So they'll almost always find somebody that can pay for their bond. So on this one, I would really love to throw it back to property owners to say you don't have to leave your property, because the financial institutions will step, obviously they're in the business of making money, but they know the amount of trouble that they have to go through to repossess the property. So it's not in their best interest to do that. So they'd rather try to work with you as a property, as a homeowner.
And you were talking about the fact that because you struggle to pay your bond over time, then you start making moves to just find ways of paying this bond over time. This may include you roping in some people to just rent and, help you to pay this bond because of these tough economic times. So this essentially meaning that really one aspect would influence another. So we have those that are owners that now over time roping in people to rent within their property because of the fact that the economy has been so harsh to them that they need to make sure still that they continue paying for that bond without a default. So one aspect of this space has over time then influenced another aspect of this space when we're looking at the owning and the renting a part of this discussion.
Yeah, so I wanted to mention this, that before a person decides whether they want to buy or sell, whether they want to buy or rent, is that they need to ask themselves, because we are all in different circumstances that determine whether we can rent or we can buy. So the first one, the very big one, is whether you can afford. If a person can afford and they can see that over a certain period of time, they can be able to sustain the repayment. That's one of the biggest things that they need to consider before choosing between the two things. But also, because like I said, we are all different. There are people that just want to groove and they want to move in and out and do things. So even if they can afford and they can sustain the repayment, but they don't really want to be stuck to one place. And it's usually young people. So there are many considerations that come into it, because there are many advantages. You know, can you believe this? There are many advantages of both buying or renting. So you can't really say this one is better than the other one, because it depends on personal circumstances. Yeah. And it requires everyone to evaluate where they are at to be able to make that decision.
Let's then talk about the pros and the cons. Let's go there. You're talking about issues of affordability and sustainability of payment over time. If you are renting or if you are buying, let's talk about the pros. So what are the pros of owning? Let's say if one wants to be an owner, what are those benefits that would come with owning your own space instead of compared to renting?
Okay, so the first one would be you have an opportunity to, you know, to start building towards building wealth for your family, because when you buy an asset, you are able to, a property will always increase in value. So the only thing is that it may increase slowly, but it will definitely increase in value. So you have an opportunity to start building that wealth. And like I mentioned earlier on, you could also rent out your property, whether you're sharing or you're not sharing, but it's an opportunity to also say, I'm buying this, but somebody else is going to pay for my bond. So at the end of the day, you own the property, but they are paying for your property. And then when you think about somebody who's renting, they can't do much on the rented property. But when you own, you can renovate and create the space how you want it. When you are renting, you can't do what you want. You have to follow, you know, what the landlord would want. And then we've seen, especially in the township, where there's an asset, but the family needs money. So when you have that kind of an asset, you can be able to raise money out of that and use the money for other things. So owning a property also gives you that freedom. Then we can also look at the potential profit that can come out when you decide to sell the property. Although, if you sell it immediately, you wouldn't make enough money. But when you keep it for long enough, like I said, the property prices will always increase. So at a later stage, you will make profit. So you have the potential that you will get the profit at a later stage. Can I go into the cons?
Yes, let's go into the cons now.
Yeah. So when you own a property, and I'm sure tenants out there can really remember this, is that when you own a property, you are responsible for the maintenance cost. And when I say maintenance, we're talking about wear and tear and things that the tenant would not have damaged. Or if you are living there, you have to be the maintenance. So you can't get away from that. And then also, if, for instance, you want to move from the property, you can't move because if you move and sell, you will not be able to make the money. So you need to be committed to a long-term period in owning that property. So you can't go in and out when you own a property. And like I mentioned, that the repairs could be very big and they could be costly. When interest rates go up, then your monthly repayments also go up. In your previous discussion, you're talking about, you know, politics and the impact of what is happening now. So that impacts the market. So if the market falls, then the property prices will grow very slowly or they can stagnate. So if you've invested in property, and especially if you have many properties, that could have a large impact on you. And if, for instance, you own a property and you've rented it out, then the tenant could terminate at any time because they are allowed to give notice, 1 month's notice, and you could struggle to get another tenant. And that would mean that you have to put the bill and pay for the bond. So those are the pros and cons of owning a property.
When doing my research, I found some harsh, if you may say, cons of renting. One of them being that you must remember that you'll be paying off someone else's property and bond, and you'll have nothing to show for your money at the end of the rental period. The rates tend to increase annually, so in the long term, it usually costs you more to rent than to buy. There's no long-term security, as the landlord may decide that we're terminating your lease and we are not renewing your lease. So really, ultimately saying that you must brace yourself. When you're going into this space, either you're going into this space to rent or to buy, what you need to take into consideration then is to brace yourself for some of these pros and cons. But then also when you're buying, there's also that issue of the interest rates that are always fluctuating, meaning that this it's very important, and it becomes pivotal for one to do their homeworks when they're going either into this space of renting or buying. Am I right?
Absolutely. And it is harsh, especially when we look at the cons of renting. But there are advantages also of renting.
I mean, we're talking about affordability. If we're talking about the pros, and then we will talk about affordability, but you can pace yourself nicely when you are really renting. You know, it offers you that flexibility to move around if you are a nomadic person and you don't like staying in one place, like you said there. And also the issues of the maintenance. You don't have to stress so much around, you know, someone's property because yours is to just pay rent and the rest will sort themselves out. So there are benefits to all of these.
The big one is that, let's say, for instance, the property is a million rand, and the owner pays 11,000 to the bank, 11,000 rand. You may find that to rent that property out, the tenant, to because of the market, they may have to pay 7,000, and they, so renting could give those benefits of paying less than what the owner is paying to the bank.
Yeah, that is true. And also then, how does one deal with then the stringent of rules? Or do they come with just the space? Each and every owner would have their own rules. Let's say then if they don't want pets, they don't want this and that. Is this something that you have to brace yourself with and something to take into consideration when you do your homework around these spaces that you find yourself in?
Yeah, absolutely. So the lease agreement would entail those things, and you'd have all of those conditions in the lease agreement. And if you're working with a property practitioner, they would explain that, okay, here pets are not allowed and blah, blah, blah. But if you're doing private ones, then that's where we also experience a lot of problems where people rent to each other and there's no lease. So usually those really backfire.
Is there then a dynamic here in terms of what we're talking about? Do we then see a lot of young people that have just joined, you know, the working space, opting to rent as they sort themselves out? Would this then lead you to build yourself, your credit profile and everything else before you can even think of buying? Are these some of the things that we see over time? Is there a trend that we can pick up here between those that are joining the working space, or really it doesn't matter as long as you qualify and you're able to really get a bond here, then that is the case. All right, we've lost our guest there, but 2 minutes past 2 o'clock is our time. We had said that I would host her and ensure that we push this through until the hour 2 o'clock. But I wanted to still pick on Matsileng's brain a bit because of the fact that really there's just a lot that we can dissect when it comes to the property space. I wanted us to prepare also even the young ones that are coming into the varsity space to say that when you think of this space and these issues that we've raised here, can one really say that they are prepared to go into that renting space? So I was talking about the rules here, and she was saying that indeed it comes with with a job in any way. It comes with a space, but really those pros and cons that we find ourselves in being those around really having to ascertain whether it is favorable for you to rent or to buy, saying that indeed when you look at it, we can't say one should be preferred over the other. It depends. It's a case by case kind of situation. Matsileng, we have you back. I wanted to find out from you in terms of the dynamics that we've picked up over time. Do you find that those people that are buying then, or that are going into the renting spaces, are those that have just gone into the job market, the job space? What they think about, do we think about buying or renting first and pacing ourselves, and then later on then deciding after having built a credit profile that is healthy to then go or consider buying? What have you picked up as the dynamics in this space?
I've picked up that there's quite a lot of young people that are starting out in that are looking for smaller spaces to rent.
Mm.
So we are not seeing that many that want to buy.
Mm.
However, we see, you know, like the older people, like, I don't know if I should call 35 or the older, but they're seeing that age group is the one that is buying versus the younger to early 20s, mid-20s that are mostly going for rentals. And the rental market today is very big because a lot of people, from my perspective and from the results that we see, is that most people are still preferring to rent rather than buy.
And in terms of the repo rate, I mean, we often just hear just announcement one after another, and we've just had one just a couple of weeks ago. I think it was 2 weeks back where we saw the Reserve Bank governor just announcing or making announcements around the repurchase rate. When you look at that rate and people that are going into this space, what advice would you give them? But in terms of that repo rate, how does it work, and how do they get affected when it's either, you know, hiked or there's an announcement, a movement around this space? How does it affect a home buyers? Let's say there's someone that wants to buy and they're like, I don't understand. How do they get affected by all of these things? And do they really have to consider these things when they go into wanting to buy a property?
So for people that are buying, because they're not yet in there, they haven't really started to feel the impact of the repo rate, you know, going up, because then the bank is only going to give them the interest they want to cut them, only after they've granted the bond. So they don't really know how much it's going to impact them, because the people that get the most impact are the people that are already paying for a bond. So even if it increases by $20,000 or $500,000, it's a lot of money, because cumulatively, it's more money that is leaving their pocket when they haven't really had an increase in salary. So the people that feel it the most are those ones. Somebody coming into the industry, because you see it on the news, you see it everywhere that the interest rate has gone up, then somebody that's coming through will ask questions to say, well, how is this going to impact me? And we have tables that we have already prepared so that they can see that if you buy this property at this price, they say how much is going to go up. It used to be this, and now it's going to be that. But also, different people will get different interest rates from the bank. If it's somebody that has a poor credit profile, then the interest rate of the bank may charge them maybe a bit higher because they are considered high risk. But somebody that has been maintaining their accounts and their credit worth, those may be even be able to negotiate for a lower interest rate on their bond. So I've seen it with current people that are older, where there is a bit of a problem, but we try as much as possible to communicate, and with the hope that you know, people can be able to plan for that. And we expect it, you know, to try and advise somebody that is buying a property to be aware that the maintenance costs, they need to budget for that, they need to budget for any eventuality. Should something happen at work, you know, have a bit of money so that you don't stress about the house. You know that you are still covered for a few months while you're sorting yourself out. So having increase in the repo rate, the biggest problem is that it is announced, and in the industry-wide, it creates panic. And then people sort of hold off a bit to wait and see what is going to happen in the market. But they may come back, especially the new ones, they come back to still continue buying.
I wanted to then just find out from you as well, in terms of what we've had over time around this particular space, especially when you want to apply for bonds. We've had over time that there have been racial profiles, so there have been red tapes as well within this space, in terms of how the banks tend to deal with those that approach them to want to get a bond. Is this something that really we see that concern still existing as we speak right right now, or as an industry, it have been like there's been a move over time to address some of these issues and to push for a transformation. What have you picked up as well, especially off late, in terms of what I've just raised?
It's quite problematic, I must say, because we find somebody where we don't see why they're not being given a bond, because we pre-check. So we are finding that there would be times when a specific bank, a financial institution, would not be giving bonds to a certain area, because they would claim they're overexposed. But either it's overexposed, but they still, they are a business, but they still have the responsibility because they have clients in those areas. So the challenge is also around that communication that a particular bank, so they will just decline and not necessarily face the overexposure problem in that area. So they want to share the risk among the different banks. But we also, without mentioning the specific names of these institutions, but we do every now and then have those institutions that would be quite discriminatory against some of the people that approach them. And to an extent that we would know that we're not going to, even if we submit our applications, we know it's not going to go to that specific bank because of the challenges that we experience with all of the applications that get sent to that bank. So there are problems, and I don't think we are addressing them enough, maybe because there's still other options. But I believe that as an industry, we could tackle that more. We could focus and make a decision to be a collective and tackle it so that it doesn't impact the business. And I will not speak for everybody because other areas are okay because those particular banks are focusing on those areas. There's probably there are more lucrative that we don't know. So I think we need, as an industry, we need to put more effort into fighting for transformation, fighting more for things to happen, because we can't always wait for somebody else to fight on our behalf. It has to come from us as an industry body and make sure that we can be a collective and leverage other skills, be able to put our foot forward and say, this is what we require. Mm. So, we still come from that background of that one and that one. So I think at some point when we see the importance of working together and fighting together, then a lot of these things could go away.
Do we then see people really discouraged then to even approach some of these facilities to want to initiate this process because over time there have been these problems or challenges of the rampant discrimination that have existed? Does it have some sort of a negative bearing then to the growth and sustainability of this industry and the sector if, let's say, we continue on this trajectory and people are not in any way finding joy when they approached the banks for an application of a bond?
Yes and no. I give an example of how I said that there are programs within banks to help people that are struggling. So what they would normally do is that they would have a panel of property practitioners that sell on their behalf. But part of choosing that panel would be we are choosing using this criteria. So you'll find that a lot of smaller businesses would not qualify there. And some that are qualifying, for some reason, they would not find themselves there. However, I would still say if the smaller businesses would come together and say, let's go and fight for this because we also deserve to be there, then fighting that could help the people that are disappointed at any to put their foot in and to be listened to. So if it's one person, two people, you know, along the way, you'd get tired. But what I also realize is that some of the institutions are willing to work with some of the agencies, but they will not come to you and force you to come and work with us. They would also wait for the individual companies to come, to approach them and to submit whatever needs to be submitted to get the work. So on that part, I think it's something that needs to be worked on. But when it comes to clients, when they don't give bonds, then somebody else is waiting. Another institution is waiting to give bonds. So fortunately, we don't get a situation where none of the financial institutions is willing to give. So if one or two are not really giving bonds to a particular area, the other ones would cover.
Yeah, and I wanted to also just find out as well in terms of, you know, concerns around the scams that tend to affect a lot of these industries, you know, especially when you're looking at the work that has been done by, let's say, your consumer goods and services ombudsman and the likes in terms of just receiving some of the cases. I mean, we've seen also programs, even on the national broadcaster, that are aimed at cautioning people around just making payments or approaching people to rent or even to buy a property without having to go through the proper channels. And you find that there are also bogus agents that exist that would tend to perpetuate such, you know, elements. How do we actually then, you know, deal with such things? And do we see them really still a problem as we speak right now? The issues of, you know, corruption and some of those bogus scams that exist?
Huge, huge, huge problems. So the most important thing is that when a person wants to buy or rent, as much as possible, know who this company is. Know the individuals that are in that company. And you find that even when a client is already working with a company, that, you know, there's a lot of interception online where they're able to see what the communication is. So when you are working with an agency, make sure that you don't overexpose yourself as a client, because somebody could be intercepting that communication. And the third part is that if, for instance, you go to an estate to a property practitioner, and they haven't received your money, but you have deposited the money and somebody intercepted, then it becomes your loss. You have to be the one going to, you know, to court to open the case against whoever has stolen the money. So the key thing is that know who you are dealing with, and don't trust anything. You know, look out for emails that come through, that is either correct email, verify, especially if it is money, verify, pick up the phone, talk to a person that you've spoken to before, just to make sure that the details that you're looking at are the details, are the correct details. But on top of that, the other scams are where somebody is renting a property, but they are also a tenant, and then they would start collecting rent, promising the property to five individuals. They collect the rent, they disappear, and the five people come, well, I'm exaggerating, you know. Or not necessarily five, but they collect money from people that would then go to a property to say they are moving in, only to find that, no, that person was not the owner, so they were renting. So, again, it is important to know who you're dealing with. If you're dealing with a property practitioner, they would have done those checks. But because we always believe that there's a discount when you deal direct with the owner of the property, and sometimes there could be huge problems. So there are lots of scams there. So it's important to be on the lookout and to question and to read thoroughly and to just do some research on the people that you're working with.
Yeah. Do we see then the need to ramp up awareness and to ensure that really we rope people in that understand these spaces? How do I know really if this person is an agent and they're coming to me to say that there's this property and they're enticing me with all of these things? Of course, they're scammers. They would know which buttons to push. How do we actually then go about it? Do we see the need really for this industry to also beef up its awareness, and how do people really distinguish one that is not legit over someone that is genuinely coming through to say that I'm coming through to offer you this opportunity, and we are from Snooks Estates, and we actually are your property sort or property company of choice.
So it's mandatory for property practitioners to always have their registration number with them, their SSC number. So I think it's important that we forget about these things, but it's important to check, are these people registered? Because if they are registered, then at least you have some records. But if they're not registered, you have nowhere to go. So you need to check, are these people registered? If they're registered, fine. If they do something, you'll get them somehow. But if they're not registered, you may lose your pension fund, you may lose lots of money. So, yes, but do some homework, check on the people that you're dealing with, and you'll be safe. You'll be safe, not safe.
And do we see the work of the regulator then helping here? Do we have some sort of a space where one can go check if this company is legit or not? If maybe, let's say, you're saying to me that you're coming from, a Power 987 property, and is there a way that one can go to check maybe online to see if there's something like this, this company's existing?
Yes. Yes, you can check, but the challenge is, I think, because of government interventions and government institutions, you can check, but you may find that the person that you're dealing with does not have the FSC, the Fidelity Fund Certificate. But it's not because of their doing, it's because of the delays of the system as a regulator. But it doesn't change the fact that you would have made that attempt to check and question. If particular people are not willing to prove that they are legit, then they are not legit. A property practitioner would actually be happy to say, "Oh yes, look, this is my credentials. Everything is on board. I'm just waiting this, whatever." They would be willing to prove that. So with the regulator, there has been a lot of programs, lots of policies, I also believe that they are also on their own journey of trying to correct things, even though they've been struggling quite a lot. But there is still a way for clients or customers to be able to verify the people that they're working with. So at any given point, you check, are these people registered? Is this agent registered? And you check, you see that. Then that saves that you get your money, that gives you some peace of mind.
Yeah, no, most definitely. Our line is not that great. I think load shedding is taking its toll. I really I would have loved to carry on and on and on, but also it's those early hours of the morning. So I'd like to let you go. Matsideng, thank you very much for coming through. We've learned a lot. Let's say if someone wants to, engage further, wants to find out around the work that, you do as a property practitioner, or even the work that Snooks Estates does. How do we get hold of you?
They can go on our website, smithestates.co.za, and they can also follow us on social media. We give a lot of educational information on Facebook, Instagram, so they can follow us there on Smith Estates.
All right, Matsiling, we really appreciate you coming through this morning. Enjoy the rest of your day. And yeah, God willing, we'll speak soon. Just as we endeavor really to learn more around industries that really we don't get to hear more information coming forward. And really, this morning, the pros and cons have helped someone. And hopefully, as we go about it, we'll raise awareness and more awareness and things would get right. We'll be transformed as an industry and the economy will shape up. And people will be better positioned to make informed decisions going forward. But we really appreciate you coming on this morning.
Thank you so much. And thank you for doing this on your show. Because it does help a lot of people. Thank you very much.
Really appreciate it. We'll invite you back. So when we invite you back, because you've given us a compliment there, don't be shy. Sure. Batsile Mukhodi coming through there.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.